excited for the message God gave me today. He put in my heart about 3 or 4 weeks ago, so it's kind of been percolating and I think really significant for me going into the year ahead. Doesn't quite feel like 2024 starts tomorrow, does it, for anybody else? It doesn't, but it will. And the calendar will show a new number. So I just have, an encouragement from God as to how to have the best year possible. Does anyone want to have a really great year? 2023 was a bit of a mixed year. So I believe it's a word in season. Just super encouraged. I mentioned last week that we're really blessed to have... God's so kind the way he speaks to us, especially out of the blue. And for those who weren't here last week, as I was preparing for the Christmas service at 7:30 in the morning, I got a phone call from a guy who's a pastor in a church down near Wollongong, and he rang up and said, I just needed to ring you because I just had a spiritual dream where God pointed out a place called Madawi, and he had never heard of Madawi before, and he anticipated or hoped that it was somewhere in Africa because his daughter is serving in ministry and was hoping that might be a direction where she needed to go. And he just said, I had to ring you and tell you that God pointed out a church in Madawi and that he wanted to say more than anything, keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. And he went on to share that he just really, he sees and values and appreciates your hunger and your faithfulness. And he wants to call us into a season of our soul to be resting in him. That abiding in the vine is how God wants us to do life with him. And he also wants the spirit of the... God wants the spirit of the fear of God, the beautiful, holy fear of God to fall in this place. And that the word of God is allowed to cut us to the core, that separation between soul and spirit. And that the refining fire comes and then just allows us to see signs and miracles and wonders happening so that people can encounter God for themselves. Anyone agree with that? Yeah. Amen. He also said in that conversation that he had one of his interns, a guy that was working with him for quite a period of time, who was holidaying up in Port Stephens, and that he might come along to the service. So I didn't ask whether he was here last week, but after the service I got to meet this guy, and he's here again this morning. And if I could invite Ethan up, Ethan Richmond. So I had a couple of brief conversation with him after the service on Sunday, and then suggested we maybe we'd catch up during the week, and he contacted me this afternoon and said, anytime you want to meet up. So Wednesday, I had about 4 or 5 hours with this guy. And I can tell you, I can't recall a time where I've felt more encouraged by God than the 4 or 5 hours I spent with him. Just sharing his heart, what he sees about this church, what God's doing in his life, and just the beautiful things that God, who he is and who we are to him and what he's doing. So I just wanted to ask Ethan just to share what his experience from Sunday. You would have got a text from Lionel in the morning, and what your experience was last Sunday and anything that you just feel God wanting to encourage us with.
Yeah, so on the Sunday at about 6:30, Lionel messaged me and said, hey Ethan, good morning. Sorry for the early morning message, but I just had this dream and it said Madawi, and I also heard keep the fire burning. He said, I automatically assumed it was in Africa, but I Googled it and I saw it was in Port Stephens, and I immediately thought of you, so no pressure, but you might want to go along. And I thought, yeah, I'll come along. And so I came along. So a bit of the context, I spent 4 years in that church with Lionel in ministry serving underneath him, and God has just recently called me up north to be a missionary with YFC. So I'm going to Queensland, but I decided to take a month. So I'm taking this new year, just January, to just seek God, just consecrate myself to him before he sends me further north. And I was praying about it. I was like, Lord, should I go? I didn't feel anything particular, but I thought, what's the worst that can happen? This sounds like God, smells like God, so I'm going to go for it. So I came along to the Christmas service, and I just felt like, more than anything, more than what I saw or experienced, it was awesome catching up with Brad. You guys have an amazing leader. Like, more than anything, I thought I was going to, you know, spend maybe an hour and a half with him. We spent, like 4 hours, and we talked, we prayed, we hugged, we wept. You have an amazing leader here, and I just want to encourage you more than anything with the word that God has. Keep the fire burning. You are responsible for your walk with God. You are responsible. It's not on your pastor. He's here. He's here to lead and go with the general direction, to be an example to you, but it's not him to feed you. It's not up to him. It's up to you to steward your walk with God. And the reason that I'm here again today is because I have faith that God wants to keep the fire burning here, and he actually wants to increase fire in Madawi. And if we want revival, if we want resurrection life, it only comes through dying. We're so excited to see the power of his resurrection, but we forget about the fellowship of his sufferings, about suffering with Christ, about giving up our all. You can't see a harvest unless a seed falls to the ground and dies. Jesus did this himself. He didn't just tell us what to do. He laid his life down and said, "Follow me." He's not looking for us just to dwell in a building, even though buildings are a blessing, but it's a gathering place so we keep stirred and keep our eyes fixed on the one who's worthy. And so my encouragement to you guys is to fix your eyes on him and be willing to die. You can have as much of God as he can have as of you. If you really want all of him, if you're really singing, "I want more of you, God," it looks like saying, "God, you can have more of me." There's nothing you can have in this world. What will it profit a man to gain everything and lose his own soul? It's so not worth the little thing that you hold on to. It's so not worth it. And I know many of you have hearts for God, but God is not looking for us to play church. He's looking for us to be the church. He's looking for us to be the church. He's looking for us to be undignified and unashamed. You know, there was one disciple at the foot of the cross. The closer you get to the crucified Christ, the less come with you. But will you be that one who says, "Even if none come with me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus." Let him consume your life. No one can make you go there, not even God himself. He's opened the door, but it's your choice. Will you walk through it? God has something for Madawi, has something for this area. And my encouragement to you guys, his church, his bride, his family, is let's go after him. Amen?
Thanks, Ethan. So good. So the best year possible. What's going to help you have the best year possible? I just feel God having a key towards that. So there's lots of things that we can do. We can have our New Year's resolutions. We can decide to pray more. We can decide to plan more. We can decide to serve in a new way. We might get healthier, get wiser, study, personal development. But to have the best year possible, what's the answer? Jesus. It's always the answer. Well, not to every question, but to that one is, Jesus really is the answer for us to have the best possible year in 2024. But more specifically, what is it about Jesus? Was there one key word that God's just been smashing me with in all the right ways? The key word, surrender. Surrender. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the word surrender? And I just really feel God wanting to encourage us that if we want to have the best year possible, that he wants us to surrender. But what does a life of surrender look like? The truth is that Jesus knows about life and how to have the best life possible. He is life. He created life. And his purpose is to give us a rich and satisfying life. He said, there's no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So how does Jesus help us have the best possible way here? Surrender. Surrender. So I don't know what surrender means to you, but some kind of definitions. Surrendering is letting go of. Letting go of the control and the outcomes to God without any expectations or conditions attached. To completely give up our own will and the subject that what we focus on, our thoughts, our ideas, our actions, to the will and teachings of a higher power. Surrender is to yield ownership, to relinquish control over what we consider ours, our property, our time, our rights. Surrender. So what does surrendering ourselves to God actually look like? And I just want you to ponder on this just for a minute, because I think this is the key thing that God has been challenging me before I launch into next year, before I make my plans for next year. What does surrendering to Him look like? So I'll just give you 30 seconds just to listen to God. What is surrendering your life to Him look like? Father, just speak to us now, encourage us. What does surrendering our life look like for you? So just curious to know what came to mind. What just words, thoughts, phrases, when God talks about surrendering your life, someone can just be generous in sharing a word or thought? Complete trust. Reading His word more. Not being concerned what others think. Daily choosing Him. Saying yes. Giving up control, listening and following, living sacrifice, giving Him authority over our lives, giving my plans to Him. Can I have one more from this middle section to be quiet today? Put God first, thank you. The beautiful thing is that we get to see what surrendering looks like just by reading the Gospels. Jesus came to show us what the normal Christian life should look like. And His entire life was a life of surrender. And I just want to again, this isn't an exhaustive list of how Jesus lived a life of surrender, but it just gives us a taste of the extent to which He was willing to surrender His life to the Father. And first of all, He didn't worry about possessions. He surrendered the need for houses or stuff or wardrobes or carts, donkeys, I don't know. But possessions just weren't a significant issue to Him. Jesus also surrendered His comfort. He was willing to do what the Father asked for Him, even when it was difficult. 40 days, no eating, no drinking. And that beautiful, horrible encouragement for us that Jesus learnt obedience from the things that He suffered. Surrendering our comfort is part of the way in which God allows us to become more like Him. Jesus surrendered His time. He was always willing to seek the Father for as long and whenever He needed to. He didn't have His own calendar agenda. Jesus surrendered His reputation. He didn't worry about what people thought of Him. He was with the Father and the Holy Spirit since before the creation of the universe, yet He didn't brag about that. And he was happily came and not just became a human, but became a servant as a human. And he didn't worry about what other people thought of him, no matter what people said. Whether he was a glutton, drunkard, that didn't stop him from living the life that God called him to. Jesus even surrendered his words. He says, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know his commands lead to eternal life, so I say whatever the Father tells me to say. How many of us ask God what we should say and how we should say it? Jesus lived the life of surrendering even his words. Probably one of the most challenging ones for us is our relationships. How do we prioritize our relationships with our friends and our family in relationship to God, in comparison to God? And Jesus, even in his culture, family was core. It was like the most important thing ever. And he says, who's my brother? Who's my mother? Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. He didn't put family above the things and the people that God placed around him. He surrendered his plans. At that point of for the crucifixion, did he want to do it? Yes and no. The joy set before him, he endured the cross, but if there's anything you can do, if there's any plan B, I'm really happy to go that way. But yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. And he taught us in that very famous prayer that he encouraged his disciples to pray and for us to pray regularly, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the ultimate, he was even willing to surrender his very life. Jesus wasn't kind of killed unmercifully or unjustly. He gave up his life. And I'd even suggest he didn't even get killed by the crucifixion. He gave up his spirit. The New King James Version of Matthew 27:50 says, Jesus cried out with loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Or as the Amplified says, he gave up his spirit voluntarily, sovereignly dismissing and releasing his spirit from his body in submission to the Father's plan. There was nothing Jesus wasn't willing to surrender. Now, this is, again, not a complete list, and this isn't a to-do list that we want to kind of print out and make sure everyone giving up your time, giving up, you know, God doesn't want this to be a law. He wants this to be a posture of our heart. He wants us to have a surrendered heart. And the Word of God is story after story and promise that God responds to surrendered hearts again and again. There's either people having a surrendered heart or having a prideful heart. And it's the history of mankind. Do we do it our way? Do we do it God's way? Do we have pride or do we have humility? And I just want to share just a handful of verses that just, again, they're only a sample, but throughout God's word, he promises us that we won't lose by surrendering. We only gain by surrendering. We experience the life, the abundant life that Jesus promises through surrendering. How profound. And as God gives grace generously, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself. And where he does ask you to surrender, even relationships or possessions, you don't lose if it's something God's asking you to do. And Jesus said to his disciples, I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the gospel will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, you know, relationships, along with persecution. Sneak that one in. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. It's the promises of God. If we surrender, he responds to a surrendered heart. Trust in the Lord and do good, says Psalm 37. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord. He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. And he's going to show you what path to take. God responds to a surrendered heart. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Jesus invites you, even today, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover life. I'll show you how to live from rest, to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn these unforced rhythms of grace, because I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. You will learn to live freely and lightly. And the last one, Romans 12, 1 to 2, after Paul talks about the grace of God and how we don't deserve all that Jesus has done for us, but he does it anyway. It's a gift out of his love for us. And out of, in response to that, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Give everything about you to God, because of what he has already done for you. Be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him, giving our whole selves. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And as we change the way we think, we will learn to know God's will, which is always good and perfect and pleasing. Amen. God responds to a surrendered heart. And we don't want to have a surrendered heart just to get the benefits. That's the danger of going, hey God, I gave up that 10% of what I earned last week. Hey God, I thought about you first this morning. It's not this exchange. He wants to give us him. He wants to give us life by his very presence. He is the gift. He is the ultimate reward for a surrendered heart. So I just want to finish off. It's got a few more minutes just to talk. And again, this isn't a to-do list. This is more just what I've sensed the Spirit saying in terms of a posture of, okay, who wants to surrender? Who wants to surrender their whole lives? Or can I even ask, who would like to want to surrender their heart but don't really feel like it? Who wants to want to but can't honestly say, I'm all in, God? Because if you want that, even if you don't feel it, God can work with that. It's your choice. It's your will. Nobody can make you surrender. And nobody will know if you've surrendered or not. They'll see the fruit of your life. That might give people a clue. But surrendering is only between you and God. I'm not going to know if you're surrendering. Only God and you are going to know if you actually surrender to him. So I just felt God just encouraging us in terms of, what does surrendering look like? How, if we're going to do it, how do we do it? I just felt him encouraging us that we need to choose, we need to do it wholeheartedly. We now need to allow the Holy Spirit to help us. We need to do it daily, and we need to do it motivated by love. So just to underline those, we need to choose to. We choose to humble ourselves before God. We choose to come close to God. We choose to respond to God's knocking on the door of our heart. You choose it. That's it. That's all that needs to happen. You choose to surrender. And it's about doing it wholeheartedly. It's not about, oh, I better do something for God today. It's I want to do it wholeheartedly, as he says through the Psalms. God doesn't desire a sacrifice, or I'd offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. That's what the Father's after. He wants our hearts. And the beautiful thing is, particularly when we don't feel like it or it's not easy, we don't have to muster it up. We don't have to grind it out. We need to ask him to help us to surrender. Yeah. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you. Because it's the Spirit that does the work of transformation. It's the work, the Spirit that empowers us when we don't have the ability. That's how it's meant to happen. So the pressure's off. We've got to choose. We've got to choose wholeheartedly. But we've got to choose and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to know what to do. Help me to do it. The Lord who is Spirit makes us more and more like Jesus as we are changed into his glorious image. Amen. And if we're going to surrender, it's not a one-time thing. It's a daily surrender, at least. It's probably hourly, minutely. It's moment by moment. It's throughout our day, throughout what's my thoughts, what's my motivation, what's my action, what's my plans. It's that surrender. Jesus said very clearly, if anyone wants to be my follower, he must give up his own way or her own way. And take up your cross daily and follow me. It's not a one-time event. It's a lifestyle of surrender. And finally, don't do it to keep God happy. Don't do it to get a few fringe benefits. Do it because you know you're loved. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. It's incredible. He loves you so much more than you realize. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made with complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amen? Loving God needs to be a response for the love that he has for us. Surrendering. I just want to encourage you now to surrender, to take some time. We're just going to roll into a time of worship. And again, it's you and God. It's heart to heart. Ask him, what does surrender need to look like? What do I need to focus on? Where do I start? How do I do it? How are you going to help me? I just want to just have an unrushed time of just allowing you to surrender, or to ask him to help you to surrender, or to give you a motivation to surrender.